Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. If you considered all the planets, we're probably closest to Uranus. I would like to acknowledge WNAH, Hoyt Carter, and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky, and Arkansas as a public service presentation. We'd also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. It's one of the finer recovery journals that affords us some print space from time to time. I'd grateful like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society, and as the family goes, so does the country. I think it's sometimes it's good to consider all the things that have been going on that's tearing the fabric, the moral fabric of our society, especially with drugs and alcohol as an underlying pinning. But, you know, we say alcohol is a symptom of the disease, and drugs are a symptom of the disease. And all these addictions and the addiction of distractions are all symptoms of a bigger disease. And what is that bigger disease? It's children aren't being taught correct principles. And, of course, they're growing up like abandoned lot weeds. There's no one there to train them, to teach them what's correct and what's not correct. They're living on the computer in a two-dimensional reality. Somebody said, well, it has nothing to do with the bloody games they play. Well, you know, I don't know about those things, but what I do know is that reprogramming their brain in a two-dimensional reality. And, you know, the kid goes out and he kills people. It's like, you know, the bodies are just going to disappear and there's really no blood and these aren't fathers and mothers and children and families and the grief and the anguish that they cause. They have no concept of what's going on. All they know is that it's all about them and they're going to do whatever satisfaction they can wrest out of this world. And they're in a lot of pain. And you ever hear, Harold, that misery loves company?
Absolutely.
It's not true. Misery demands company. So we do this work.
Go.
We do this work in recovery to help the next sufferer. That's our way of giving back. So we do this as a public service. There's no money being made. And we do this, we give our time, talents, and treasure to accomplish that end because it's been given us to give back. Harold?
Well, hi, everybody. Hi, Joseph. Thank you for that introduction. And we are on the right track. We've got to strengthen families in this country. I think the president's aware of it, and he's been talking about it. And Congress, you know, I believe that what really needs to improve is the care for people that have mental problems. The Congress wants to take the easy way out and regulate guns and take guns off the market and register everybody. They haven't said one darn thing yet about increasing the level of care for the mentally ill. Several years ago, I lived in the Pacific Northwest, and in three phases, they released everybody out of the mental hospital because it was costing the state too much. And they turned them out on the street. It did backfire. They did the same thing here in Texas, and it also backfired because the people, when they get into a difficult situation, they can't think straight, they go to the emergency room, which is a gigantic cost, far exceeding that of the mental hospitals. So we've got to increase the care for those that are having mental problems, everything from depression, which is the most common, all the way down to acute schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder, where folks are hearing things and seeing things that aren't there. the interesting thing about it is that drugs and alcohol will simulate mental disorders almost exactly, especially methamphetamines and bath salts. We've all heard some of the horror stories about people using bath salts and creating horrendous crimes. So we've got to increase the care for mental patients and the care for addiction. We've made some headway on that. NADAC, N-A-A-D-A-C, organization is a National Council on Drug Abuse and Chemical Dependency Care, Recovery Care. And I've attended a couple of seminars just recently on taking a more complex view of not just saying, well, recovery is being clean and sober. Well, surprise, guys, they announced that back in 1935 as they created the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not just about being sober. We've got to get the rest of our lives healthy again, and we've got to improve our relationships with people and with the community. And so that's we're at a tipping point, I think, and I'm delighted that my practice is busier than it's ever been. I work at the Houston Center for Christian Counseling, and here in Sugar Land, Texas, near Houston, and it is I'm seeing more and more families that have really difficult crises, and at the center of each one, well, I've got one family where there's a mental health problem, which is exacerbated by drinking and drugging, but the main thing is a mental health problem. The rest of them are all either drug and alcohol problems that the folks are aware of, or they're drug and alcohol problems that they haven't really recognized as a crisis yet. But it's so things seem to be quite a bit more difficult than they've been over the past 4 years, and I'm not sure why, but you know, the weather's changing, and so is mental health in the United States of America. But that's enough out of me for now. Thank you. Oh, I wanted to mention, before I turn it back over to Joseph, I wanted to pat Joseph on the back a bit. You folks may realize already that this website, rumradio.org, is offered as a public service. Joseph funds this out of his own pocket. He doesn't make money. He sinks money into this. He's improved it many times, and it's designed to be a place you can go and find information about how to be a sponsor, how to find a sponsor, what working with others is all about, and how very, very important that is to a person's recovery. It's the key to my recovery. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, that's how they started Alcoholics Anonymous, is that Bill Wilson went over to Dr. Bob Smith's house, and Dr. Smith would only give him 15 minutes. And when Bill got there, he said, what do you think you can tell me that'll keep me sober? I've worked with the finest doctors and the finest hospitals in the world. And Bill Wilson said, well, wait a minute, I'm not here to keep you sober. I'm here to keep me sober. And so off we went, and millions of people, their lives have been saved and their recovery is strong. Families have been welded back together, because the key is working with other people. So Joseph gets that, I get that, and Joseph has a wonderful public service going on, and so does WNAH Radio. So it's great to be here, and I hope you folks gain a lot of inspiration and knowledge from the ideas that we put forth today. this week and every week. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I went to a, years ago, I went to a psychiatrist. I had issues. And the psychiatrist, the first thing he asked me, he says, do you see things that other people don't see, or do you hear things that other people don't hear? And I responded, doesn't everyone? And he turned around and he said, you know, I can work with you. So a lot
like
of people
that.
So a lot of people say that they, you know, that they're crazy. I think crazy is really overused. If you ever notice that the very wealthy or the wealthy people are always eccentric. Unfortunately, the poor can't afford eccentric. They have to settle for just plain crazy.
That's true.
AA is not a hotbed of mental health, and neither are any of the 12-step programs, because it's a symptom of the disease. We have issues that stem, I believe, back from the family, and that makes the first round robin. But we're addressing the issues of alcoholism and drug addiction on Rum Radio as a sponsor. Now, sponsorship could also work for any of the other programs. We have NA. I believe NA and CA are closely related. I have a story with one of the interviews with Kathy McKinnon-Lindert, which is Jimmy Kinnon's daughter, wrote a book about how NA started and how AA was fundamental in helping NA stay alive. If it wasn't for AA, NA would have not come out of the ditch. I'm really not convinced that that was correct as far as separating drugs and alcohol. I think that was kind of short-sighted by Bill. The traditions, the third tradition states that drug addicts came in early on. They didn't know what to do. The pristine drunks were all in a tizzy. And the question was had arise, what would the master do? Master is always referred to Jesus the Christ. That's the master, and the master of love and service. And what would the master do? And the question was made plain. We had to let him in, because to cast him out into outer darkness could mean his death, and we couldn't be responsible for that. So we let him in, and it turned out to be good for AA and good for him. Wow. Well, several years later, Bill has an epiphany, and he feels that drug addicts should have their own shtick, and that this is just about alcoholism. Little did he realize that today, most of the folks coming into the room are dual addicted, at least. And we have just drug addicts coming in because there's more AA than anything else available. And you know what? The 12 steps will work for anyone with any addiction, period. The only difference is the first step mentions the addictive substance. Other than that, it's the same ball game. We use the big book and the 12 steps. We don't represent AA, NACA. We're more like Narcoleptics Anonymous, because half the people fall asleep when they're listening. But hey, or we have a Paranoids Anonymous. The only problem is nobody will tell you where they hold the meeting. This works, folks. All you got to do, it works if you work it. Rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. There are those that cannot or will not give themselves to this simple program. They're such unfortunates. They seem to have been blonde that way. Did you get that, Harold?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Some of your stuff comes across better in writing, but I keep on giving us those. I like it. When I'm more aware, part of the problem is I gave up coffee a week and a half ago, and I am feeling better, but sometimes your jokes take a little longer to sink in now that I don't have my stash of caffeine.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But there's two that can get well who have grave mental and emotional disorders if they have the capacity to be honest. And this is all it is. If you can be honest about your addiction, honest about the problem, we got to the solution for you. We got something that works. It works because we work this program. I believe we're saved by grace after all that we can do, not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. Tonight, we were scheduled to have an interview with Papa Spike. He's an author, a movie star, a model, great story. Something must have happened. He was calling from Europe, and I'm sure there was a last-minute kind of deal. And that's okay. We're going to have him on, but not right now. So right now we're going to go on our regular format. We have some other things for you. I believe this stuff is real interesting. For me, it keeps me sober. And I believe it helps Harold to do that too. We give back, and that gives us, that enlivens our spirit to be of greater service, to maximum service to God and our fellows. I'd like to start the show off with since we're halfway through, with the third step prayer. When I have a new sponsee or a prospect, that's an interesting term. A prospect is someone who comes into the rooms and you have a certain degree of or expectation of success once you've qualified the prospect. If you notice, the word prospect is a sales term. I'm going to sell you the idea that we have a better way to stay sober and a design for living that we find to be worthwhile, workable, and beyond your wildest expectation. So we get the prospect, and I tell him, I have him answer, I ask him, have you had enough? What do you mean? Have you had enough misery? Have you had enough humiliation? Have you had enough alcohol? Have you had enough? Yes or no? Yes. Are you willing to go to any length to achieve sobriety? Yes or no? Yes. Then I tell them you can get well from this disease of mind, body, and spirit, but there's certain things you have to do. And the first thing I need you to do is answer Clancy's 7 questions. They're on the website under the How to Find the Sponsee tab. Scroll down a little bit. You can print it all in Word. You can print the whole website out. You print out the questions. Carry them with you. I believe luck is nothing more when preparation meets opportunity. The student will appear when the teacher is ready. So be prepared. I give them those, and I'll tell them, okay, I need you to answer these 7 questions, and I need them back tomorrow. Here's my number. I expect your call. And I introduce myself so I know when he's calling who it is. If I get the call, he's taken simple instruction and has demonstrated he's willing to go to any length. If I don't get the call the next day, 2 things have occurred. He's not ready or he's not ready for me. I might not be the guy for him. This might be a good wake-up call. Maybe he needs to lounge around in the rooms for a while. Maybe he needs to marinate for a while before he can come to any conclusion of decision. But when I catch him early on, the success rate seems to be exponential. And then after that, I get those back. When I do get them back, first assignment I give them is to get a home group and get lists of a newcomer's packet, if possible, or the names of 20 or 30 men who are willing to be called. It's his lifeline, and he's developed a home group. He's being established. And, of course, I'm his temporary sponsor. I believe all sponsorship is temporary. It's either temporary for a day or temporary for a lifetime or anywhere in between. What a temporary sponsor does is get you into the mix so you feel more of a part of than apart from. It also, the temporary sponsor gives suggestions, where to find the meetings, how often to come, all the. So now he's getting involved. He also gets Captain Midnight Dakota ring and gets to know all the secret handshakes. I also say, okay, now that you have the names, what I want you to do is every day for the next 30 days, I want you to call a different man on the list. I suggest men for men and women from women, because sponsorship is very intimate, and the intimacy could be easily misconstrued, and an inappropriate behavior can come from that. Sex changes everything. Now, if you can't find another guy and you're only in a position to find a woman, you know what? You work the steps, and the reverse goes true. But remember that it's easier for men to relate to men and women to relate to women. We find that to be more successful. But the bottom line is, you work the steps. And this is the reason why I haven't called up for the third step prayer. One, it connects them up. It gets them used to picking up the 500-pound telephone and asking for help. Hard to do sometimes. Two, it connects him up with his fellowship. He gets to know his name. They get to know his name. He gets to know their name. The third reason, what we're going to say in the third step prayer, encapsulates what we're going to try to accomplish working all 12 steps. And fourthly, the person he's calling might have been considering picking up his first drink. Chances are he won't. And if your sponsor is making the calls, he's probably not going to be thinking about picking up that first drink either. So now you have a win-win scenario.
That is cool. Hey, Joseph, let me ask a quick question technically.
Sure.
Here. There's a little vibration in your voice. Is your mouthpiece something you can move a little further away from your mouth?
I can. How's that? Is that any better?
Oh, gosh. It's, well, we'll see.
How's that? Is that better?
Oh, yes. There we go.
Okay, I got it locked on my glasses. you know, I bust up profundo. You know, I opened up the chat room.
Oh, good.
And then there's two people. He was logged in and he logged out, so I don't know what that was about. I've never done that. Some lady offered to work that, and I haven't really bothered with it. But anyway, so this is the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy will. Life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen. That's wonderful.
It puts a nice lilt to it, doesn't it? All AA meetings or meetings of recovery that I've been in start with a prayer, and I call that an invocation. We invite in the Spirit. We invoke the Spirit, and we close with a prayer, believe it or not, which is thanking the Spirit for being among us in gratitude. Tonight we're going to do something from the website. I have a title. It's one of the featured posts. It's called The Plane Boss. The Plane. Tattoo into your consciousness. It's the spiritual plane. Little play on words. Some of the older folks remember Fantasy Island. There was a fellow there, a dwarf. I don't know what's the correct. Is there a politically correct term?
Little people.
Okay, little people. He was a little person, and his character was called Tattoo.
I think he died of a drug overdose not too recently.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes.
To get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. This may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. It is not the matter of giving that is the question, but when and how to give that often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put a work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are met or cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence of God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and cleans house. Harold?
Yes, this is getting us off on the right foot. I love the idea that it really boils down to trusting God and cleaning house. That's what my first sponsor told me. Great big guy, 6'5", 295, and he was they called him a big book Nazi. He really wanted to go by the book, and that was where we started and where we stayed. Trust God and clean house. So the first three steps are about trusting God. In Celebrate Recovery, we have a sentence that we're not God. We've got to stop playing God. So, and that's just one more way to trust God, is to learn a few things. That's what I had to do. I really knew very little about God and or his word when I started, but later on, I was quick to see where the religious folks were right. Well, I wasn't that quick, but I finally came around, and it's very important. In order to trust God, I needed to know more about God, so that it wasn't a blind trust. I don't believe in blind trust. And the cool thing about it, Lee Strobel gave a talk recently, and I went and listened. And he's the guy that was the atheist and really a fellow from Missouri, the show me state. He wanted to be shown. Well, science is adequate enough now, and anthropology, that we have a lot of historical documented proof about many, many things in the Bible, and it's growing all the time. That's what really helped him. His wife was praying for him too. But one day he realized that it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in the scriptures and believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ. We have that much documented proof. So I needed to know about God in order to trust God. But I think that anyone who will pray and then get into the Word, it will come alive. It's amazing. I know many, many people who have done that. Pray about it and then get into the Word. It comes alive for you. What an experience. And then cleaning house means you get a pen and paper and start making the inventories, doing your lists, doing your homework, putting in the effort. Now, let me issue a caution here. The fourth step can be kind of intimidating and depressing. And so my sponsor told me, because I'm the survivor of incest when I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And my sponsor said, don't work on this for more than half an hour a day. And that was good advice. I was getting a little bit overwhelmed and depressed working on it too long. And I'm kind of obsessive about things. I like to start on something, get it finished, and just see it through to the end. But he said, nope, half an hour a day max, do that. So that's the first part of cleaning house, is taking an inventory like a business. And then that list also comes in handy later for step 8, where we need another list. But the main thing is the willingness. One of my sponsees used to say, well, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be willing. I said, good enough. You've got it right there. Another thing that really helped me in trusting God was to borrow faith. My sponsor had a lot of faith, and I borrowed some of his. That works fine, too. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I like to think that the atheist says there is no God and lives like there is one. And the agnostic says there might be a God and lives like there isn't.
Yes.
The atheist can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman.
I like that.
It was a fellow that he was an atheist, and he was a good man. He did the next right thing because it was the next right thing to do, and he was honest and forthright. But he didn't believe in God. But he was a good man, and his hobby was fishing in exotic lakes all over the world. And one late afternoon, in one of these expeditions, the Loch Ness Monster came up and from the depths and threatened to destroy the atheist. In a moment of panic, he looked up to the sky and said, Lord, Lord, please save me. The heavens opened up and the Lord said, I thought you didn't believe in me. And the now believer turned around and said, Lord, give me a break. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either. When all my needs are met, when I have waxed the cat, walked the fish, and dropped off Jiminy Cricket at the vet, and if all else fails, then and only then can I get around to it. And then will I start working the 12 steps. Which, it's a stall, folks. Most folks come in, and I'm talking from experience. I came into the rooms, and I didn't work the steps for a very long time. I was going to get the message. You know how I was going to get it, Harold? I was going to get the message by the process of osmosis. I figured if I went to enough meetings, eventually the message would come through the floor, up the legs of the chair, up my butt and into my head. I found an easier, softer way. I call that osmosis.
There you go.
And a lot of folks, they do the same thing. I knew that was the wrong thing to do. Now I know that. Well, it kept me sober, and some would cry, well, I went to a lot of meetings and I didn't work the steps and I'm still sober today. And that's fine. I'm still sober, and I did it the wrong way, and it worked for me. It's just a shame that we never get to hear what the dead would have said. We've lost a lot of folks using that kind of mentality. They're dead, they're gone, they're out, over and out. I believe that. Go ahead.
What bothers me about the person that just comes in, the steps and the rooms and other members of AA collectively are like very much like an orchard. And yes, you can come into the orchard and pick the fruit and eat it and be nourished and be awakened and be really nutritionally made healthy, but someone has been in there pruning the trees, caring for the trees, adding the fertilizer, adding the doing all the things necessary so that the orchard really produces. And when there are people who come in, eat the fruit, are really benefited, and they take off. Well, wait a minute. What about doing a little work in there also? Those people that say, well, I came into the rooms, I haven't worked the steps, but I'm still sober. Have they helped anybody? Have they helped anybody? Because that's really what this is about. My coming into the rooms and working the steps was actually my preparation to work with other people who were newer in the program. And I soon began to realize that. So now when I work with people who are new to recovery, and I mention this 12 steps and the meetings, I also mention that by working the 12 steps, you'll be preparing yourself to help somebody newer in recovery work the 12 steps, and that's when your recovery really starts. So I get irritated with the people that just come in, eat the fruit, and take off. Joseph?
Good point, Harold. We do the steps so we can do the work. And the work is to keep the principles that we find in the 12 steps. Each step has a particular principle. We keep those principles. And to extend the hand of AA to the next sufferer, that's the work. We do the steps so we can do the work. There's a knock on the farmer's door. His closest neighbor with a petition of request. Can I borrow your axe? The neighbor implores. The farmer, without a moment's hesitation, explains that he's building a well and that he needs his axe to complete the task. Oh, well, in that case, then I thank you anyway and I'll be on my way. The farmer, closing the door, spies his young son who was standing a step inside and just out of view, has been listening intently to the now gone neighbor's request. Junior asks, Dad, you're not building a well. The farmer responded, Son, when you don't want to do something, any excuse will do. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. We carry the message, not the alcoholic. My original sponsor, Kenneth, at one time was living in a pump house on Lake Travis. Kenneth was a member of Mensa, Brainiacs of the Round Table. Did you know that that's what it means? What Mensa means is round table?
No.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Kenneth was brilliant, and like some brilliant people, he could be dangerous, especially to himself. The wealthier off... We have often found the more brilliant the mind, the harder the time it has in surrendering to this simple program. For the ego will hide behind the mask of the mind, the very same mind that created it. And in the end, the ego will sacrifice the body on the altar of pride in a vain attempt to stay alive. The preacher said, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. No problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. Albert Einstein. Kenneth awoke hungover in squalor and in filth. He found himself at the jumping off point. Someday he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. In a moment of clarity, he knew there was something he needed to do. In my experience, most, if not all, drunks or addicts at one time or another brush up against AA in some form or fashion. It might have been a suggestion from a well-meaning friend, perhaps overheard in an exclamation of contempt from a wino who had tried and failed at all but futile attempt to get well, only to abandon all hope and deride AA as a flawed program. And then there's those in a moment of alcohol-fueled bravado explained in defiant acknowledgement that, in fact, they are an alcoholic and thus knew how to have fun and will not be a bore like some glum people they know. Kenneth found his way to the Hope Group in Cedar Park, Texas, the little yellow house, as it looked like a place where alcoholics would go, as it later was described to me. And it was really the last house on the block. Kenneth drove up in a car long past its prime and had been recently in an accident, and the car totaled out. He quickly dispatched the proceeds from the insurance settlement with the consumption of alcohol. Kenneth, with ingenuity, baling wire, and reams of duct tape, kept the rambling wreck rolling along the South Texas pavement. Kenneth, immediately upon entering the doors, was immediately taken in tow by Holly. Holly would grab newcomers as young girls collect stray cats and would introduce them to their potential new sponsors. Kenneth was introduced to Lance. Lance would assure the newcomer that they can get well from this disease of mind, body, and spirit, but there were certain things that they had to do, and he was willing to go to any length to achieve sobriety. Lance took Kenneth home. His clothes were quickly dispatched in a black garbage bag. A shower and soap was made available and a hot meal, and a meeting of recovery and the outline of the big book was also introduced in short order. Kenneth was working a program and was able to find a place. It was an old yellow school bus he had converted to living quarters. It was located out on Richards Ranch, a member of the Hope Group family. Kenneth today is back at his occupation, a computer programmer, and happily married. Assistance was initially forthcoming as it was necessary to keep body and soul together. But he was quickly left to his own devices and thus had to start depending solely on God as he understood him. That's the spiritual plane. Allowing God to take care of the rest of his needs while ensuring acceptance as a spiritual tool. Kenneth was repairing the brakes on my car when he turned to me and said, "I do not have enough money to buy food tomorrow." That statement was an abstract to me as I always had a stash of cash in reserve, and so I had never missed a meal or place to lay my head for the night. I inquired, "What were you going to do?" Kenneth replied, "I'm going to do what I always do in these situations. I work with another alcoholic, and my needs are always met. And my needs are always met when I work with another alcoholic." This realization had become a working part of his mind, reinforced time and time again through the practical application of program principles. God was doing for him what he could not do for himself. He had made the leap from service plane to the intuitive plane and landed gently back on his feet in the spiritual plane. Harold?
That is really nicely written, and it's such an important thing to experience. I know a lot of people cannot just read this and imagine it and experience it, or trust God that could work the same way for them. Years ago, I used to sell real estate, and it was amazing to me how you could arrive at a construction site with a new client, and the foundation was laid. The walls had begun to be framed in, but pretty much all you had was a foundation and a few sticks. And we could some people could walk around with me, and I would say, well, the bathroom will be here, and the master bedroom will be this way. There'll be windows in this direction, that direction. The kitchen and family room will be a big open concept here, and some people could picture that with me, and some just absolutely could not see beyond what was right there in front of them. So that's something that I've prayed for in the past, is the ability to see things through other people's eyes and to learn through other people's experience. And that has been so valuable because especially when we go to meetings where there's a high level of honesty, people are sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And I can learn a ton of things if I keep my ears open and my mouth shut. It's really amazing. And I also like what Joseph has to say about walking a mile in another man's moccasins. Do you want to share that with everybody, Joseph?
Oh, I think it's essential to do that. If you walk a mile in another man's shoes, you've accomplished two things. You have his shoes, and you're a mile away.
I love that. That's great. So, folks, are you ready to trust God and clean house? And we have another segment here. We've got about 12 minutes. Let's see. No, we've got about 14 minutes, Joseph. I bet we can make it through the idea. This next section is about firing God. Has God been fired? Let's talk about that.
All right. We could go a few minutes over. That's not going to kill anybody. AA threatens to fire God, demands more benefits and less participation. Should we fire God? Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. They may not all be right, but try to see where anyone may be right. A statement of humility and another such statement, we realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. These are statements of humility. We don't know. We don't know everything. Hey, wow. For an alcoholic to admit his ignorance is huge. Remember, you could tell an alcoholic anything. You just can't tell him much. It's been rumored that Clancy I, he's a pillar of the AA community, and he travels all over. He's an old-timer. Great recovery. Some people love him. Some people hate him. I like him. I've been dissed by him twice. Has made the observation that in some areas of the country, AA has been slowly and deliberately elbowing God out of the rooms of recovery. I do not believe that this phenomena is unique to AA, for I find this to be a common and progressively deleterious attitude, and that AAs are but reflection of those declining social mores. We are but a microcosm of society's ills as a whole. Harold?
Well, did you hear the other day that God was interviewed, and he was asked why he has allowed these shootings in the schools over the past several years? And his response was that we said, I've been kicked out of the schools for decades. Yeah.
Interesting. The decline of God consciousness has been very gradual and almost imperceptible. Viewed in the short term, a Hollywood movie that would have been rated R for restricted in as little as 10 years ago has slowly crept into the social unconscious and is now perfectly acceptable as PG-13, parental guidance for age 13 and under. 2,000 years of Christianity jettison for political correctness. Common era has replaced the familiar Anno Domini, AD, the year of our Lord, and BC, before Christ, with the obscure terms Common Era and Before Common Era. No one knew that they were being offended until someone explained it to us. Why we should take an exception to the fact that Christ so changed the world in which we live that we would mark time but his comings and his goings as acknowledgement of both awe and respect. Society is slowly being desensitized by the constant sensationalism of media arousal, while being anesthetized with drugs, alcohol, and pornography, and now readily accept what was once evil is now good, and what was once good is now made evil. The fabric of society is slowly being torn apart. The recovery community, once a beacon of hope, love, tolerance, and service, has now, in ever-widening circles, become but a mirror of the attitudes and corrupt customs of our society as a whole. Must the Christ be crucified in every generation for the benefit of those who have no imagination? George Bernard Shaw. Harold?
Wow, that is powerful. That is powerful. I think that alcohol and drugs and escaping from reality are tools of the enemy. I think it's the enemy at work, and seeing it that way, what I call the enemy voice, recognizing that it is the enemy when it is the enemy talking, has really helped my recovery a lot. It's like there's a locomotive train coming, and with a few bits of information and to see a few patterns connect the dots, we can realize that this train of destruction is on its way down the tracks, and we can step off the tracks. That's how I feel my recovery is gone. So for me, it has been a process of paying attention. It's a lot like my first sponsor said, it's a lot like the football teams nowadays who watch their opponents' videotapes so that they know how to anticipate and how to overcome some of their strategic moves. And it's the same way with me, my recovery, and the enemy, knowing what to expect. He only has a dozen or half a dozen tricks and variations on those. And so once we learn about the enemy, then we can be on alert and we can know, we can smell the stench when he's approaching and step off the tracks. One of the things that got me years ago, it's been 20 years ago, it was at the 5-year mark, one of the enemy's tricks is overconfidence. You know how we are when we're younger, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And so I was quite confident, and the Bible says, beware if you're standing tall, you might be ready for a fall. So I was overconfident, and the enemy voice started in. Look at you, 5 years, 60 months of total abstinence from alcohol and drugs. You are something. You're something else. You're really hot stuff. You should be proud of yourself. You can relax. Well, at first the voice said, you should celebrate. You know, and what was next? A suggestion on celebrating with a substance. But I was on to that. I said, no. Well, the enemy voice said, well, at least you can relax. You don't need as many meetings. You don't need to call your sponsor all the time. You can put up your feet and kind of coast for a while. And I was, and 1 week turned into two, which turned into three. Well, luckily, the people in the rooms, friends of mine in recovery, looked around and said, where's Harold? Let's go get him. And they showed up. They called. They said, get your butt back in one of these seats. And it was true. it also helps me these days to have a wife who will say, hey, you need a meeting, you know, get yourself to a meeting. So now don't jump off the deep end, folks. That does not mean that she's working my program. I don't work her program. She doesn't work my program. But I have asked her to tell me when it's her impression that I need a meeting. And I've also set up a contract with her, by the way, that is if I relapse, my stuff is in a black garbage bag and thrown out on the front sidewalk, and she gets a locksmith and changes the locks, I'm out. If I relapse, I'm out. There's no two ways about it. That's what I have asked her to do in case there's a problem in my recovery. And she agrees to do that. So this separates the mice from the men. Do you men have what it takes to do something like that? Can you make a relapse arrangement with your spouse, with your kids? Do they know that if you relapse, you're out of there? Now, this doesn't mean divorce. It doesn't mean, you know, she's going to put a contract out on me or anything. It just means that when I'm active in my addiction, I'm not fit to be around these fine people, and I should be out, and she's going to help me see. So that's the way our society has turned around, made the good evil and the evil good, is truly amazing to me. And I could go on and on with examples. One little thing that bugs me, I lived on the West Coast for quite a while, and it seems to be quite a nasty little habit. They say it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's all, hey, guess what? It's not all good, folks. It's not all good. That I think that's the enemy at work, fuzzing the lines between things, obscuring our discernment. We're supposed to be discerning. I can't even count the number of battered wives that I've worked with as far as family therapy. Battered wives say, well, but he's a good dad. No, you don't subject your children to that atmosphere of beating up their mother in front of them or even while they're asleep. It creates an energy resonance throughout the house. It's harmful to kids. I worked with the boys 5 to 9 years old who were witnessed domestic violence. They are altered. They're disturbed little guys. So, no, that's not a good dad. And it's not all good, folks. We've got to be discerning and call it what it is. The president did on the State of the Union address. He was speaking about evil. We've got to put that word back into our vocabulary. And in my opinion, we've got to use the word sin as it should be used also, folks. Well, come on, let's grow up. We're not little kids anymore. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I was going to say that. Okay. Whether is it nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, Hamlet. All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing, Burke. And we have ceased fighting everything and everyone, even alcohol. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, and that is by hope, kindness, tolerance, and love unfeigned. To be continuously engaged in good and in the service of others. This is the proper use of the will. For when we are in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And when we are in that service and in that moment, are we not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that service and in that moment, is that not when we make our conscious contact with our Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. There are opposing forces at play. One is rational recovery with its complete disavowalment of God, and the other is celebrate recovery that acknowledges Jesus as the Christ and Heavenly Father is the higher power. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Abe Lincoln. AA has no requirement as such and is akin more to a spiritual kindergarten, and that everyone is free to come to their own understanding and spiritual growth or not at their own will and at their own pace. I've asked my church, if the 12 steps are not a gift from God, why have you adopted them? And if they are a gift from God, why do you feel compelled to change them? Of course, I never get an answer to that one. The question is, why are so many threatened by the concept of God or have the need to coerce their own beliefs on others and prefer to lean towards the outer fringes and not take comfort in the center of love, tolerance, and service? I have a little picture on the website, a guy holding a rock. It says, "You can worship a rock for all I care, just don't throw it at me." Please step away from the rock. My answer would be, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities, dominions, and wickedness in high and low places. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to the captain's table. I define pride. Tell me, what do you think of this? Pride, the disavowalment of God or the need thereof.
Yes.
You like that? Natural man has been an enemy to God and has been so since the fall. And thus pride will always go before the fall. I also say this, natural man has been an enemy to God and been so since the fall, and the winter doesn't look much better. But the springtime will come with the promise of the resurrection and renewal, and by the summertime, the cotton will be high and the catfish, they'll be a-jumping. I have a little picture. Me is all I need. I'm great. I'm right. I'm very smart. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Invictus. The ego will sacrifice the body on the altar of pride in a vain attempt to stay alive. The preacher said, vanity's a vanity. All is vanity. Harold?
Yes, the my biggest obstacle early on was self-reliance. For a long time, I was like the scribes and Pharisees. I really didn't need a savior. I was okay. And I was talking to my Sunday school class. I teach the 11th graders in church. I attend the Church of Christ, and we were talking about some of the obstacles and some of the problems that come up. I mean, we love God. As Christians, we love God. We don't love God as much as we could. And we were talking today about how to love God more. And we were talking about the whole world of marketing, how they breed dissatisfaction and self-criticism so that they can sell more deodorant, more perfume, more makeup, more plastic surgery, on and on and on. And it's not that popular to be humble. You know, everything turned around for me when I realized that I need a willingness to learn. I need to learn from every situation, every single individual I encounter all day. I need to be a learner, and that's really what's going to do it. And I need to serve. I need to serve. I need to be more useful to God every day. That's my goal now. And all that self-reliance is just the big bad wolf huffing and puffing. And it's time for me to learn some things. And so we've had a great program tonight. I really have enjoyed it. Joseph?
Well, thank you, Harold. I like to think humility is like underwear. It's essential unless it shows. Then it's indecent. Something I've noticed lately, I work the Facebook trying to get the Rum Radio message out. I get very diverse inputs. Some folks rail against me. I mean, very rude. Epithets, you know, challenging me, just really rude, you know, like a crude and tattooed. Why is he doing this? All that, but there's a rail. And then on the other side, I get people say, well, God bless you. You're doing a great work. Keep going, you know, don't be discouraged. This is blah, blah, blah. But what I've noticed is they're both necessary, because you can't have one without the other. You can't have darkness without light. You can't have health without sickness. You can't have pleasure without pain. So the folks that rail is a necessary evil, for nothing grows without opposition. So these are things I learned in the way, you know, Pan-Asians have the yin and the yang. I think they were closer to the truth than I would suppose. In the Garden of Eden, we know there's two trees. One was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, according to the scriptures, which was most desirable and sweet above all the fruit in the garden. And the other tree was the tree of life. So the needs be, if one was sweet, then the tree of life is bitter. And you know how I know that was bitter? Because life
No.
is bitter. Life is bitter. Life is hard. Get used to it. It makes it easier once you come to that realization. Everything happens to everybody. Doesn't matter what happens to you. It's how you handle it and what you do with it. That's what the difference is. This is why Rum Radio is there.
Dr. Scott Peck, he said life is difficult. Once you realize that, it makes it a little easier to adjust to that. Life is difficult. He also says there's one place where nobody has any problems, no problems whatsoever. It's down the street at the graveyard. Those folks don't have any problems.
You know, I had written to that recently because of the Facebook and, you know, about the Jesus always comes into play. And, you know, some people will rail at that. And, you know, I don't understand that. But his name will always bring a passionate response for good or for ill. And I liken it to the two malefactors that were up at Gethsemane, place of the skull, and one railed against him, the other one accepted him as the savior. And it seems like the guy had to rail so the other one could accept. It just, you know, one will be taken and one will be left. One will be taken and one will be left. It's like,
yeah,
there's a balance spiritually to everything. Where there's a polarity.
That's great.
And I put it to this, people. Well, the one guy accepted Jesus. I call him the great opportunist. He's on the cross. He's going to die. And now he says he's admitted his fault, that he was guilty of his crime, and that this was a just punishment, and that he acknowledged Jesus. When you go into your kingdom, remember me. And he told him, in this day you will be with me in paradise. But what did he have to lose? I mean, if Jesus isn't true, when there is no resurrection, then the grave, the shroud of the grave is oblivion and is the undiscovered country. But if it is true, then there's worlds within worlds. So what do you got to lose, folks?
Well, there is that moment of embarrassment as he bows to his king. And I'm sure that some of the Roman guards would belittle him, even in that moment when they're on the cross. And, some of the guards recognized, surely this is the Son of God. Other ones never did and said, these guys are ridiculous. So there is that moment where we publicly, in front of everyone, acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we are subject to some ridicule at that point. And Jesus told us we would be.
Well, you're going to get both, Harold. You're going to get, it's the only name that will bring both agreement and ridicule. It's the only name that will bring a passionate response for good or for ill. And I ask people in recovery, hey, what's up with that? Can you come up with another name that will invoke that kind of response? And no one can, because it's a name given above all names. But I'm still a AA guy. I believe that it's spiritual kindergarten, and you come in at whatever level you feel comfortable with. If you're not a Christian, and I have you as a sponsor, I would tell you, okay, you don't know who God is or what God is, or if there is a God, I need you to pray. You can address it to whom it may concern. That's enough to get you started. We'll get to the finger painting later. Harold,
yeah.
Any last? Yeah, I think we'll close it up.
Sounds great. Again, Joseph, for having me on, and I hope this was valuable for everybody listening. And go to the website, rumradio.org. Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, Harold. Thanks for coming on. We're in 151 foreign countries, including Mississippi, probably around 2,700 towns, cities, and villages. We've changed analytics, so I'm not really quite sure exactly. Around 250,000 hits in 3.5 years to the website. I've gotten like 1,200 letters thanking me for the work. And I probably have gotten 1,200 people that are really pissed off at me. And if they see me on the street, I'll have to duck. But, you know, it's okay. You don't have to look. Nobody's ever been raped by a book or made pregnant by a movie. It's information. Whether you consider it good, bad, or indifferent, it is just information. Take a look. You can have contempt, but only after investigation. A mind can take a parachute. It only works well when it's open. So, have a good night, everybody. And remember, we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org. Good night.
Good night.